Amen. Hey, that rhymes with he'll do it again. Good evening. Bless your heart. John Lynn on this end. And we have quite a wonderful group tuned in. I see one gentleman from jolly old England or the UK or whatever they call it now. Bless you, Brother Michael. And from coast to coast in the good old USA, thank you for taking your time tonight to join us. Anytime believers get together, anything can happen. Chances are this exact group will never be together again until the gathering together. But here we are tonight. I know there are people on here that need prayer. Certainly I am among them. So let's focus in on behalf of ourselves so we get the most out of this. It's kind of a challenging teaching for me. I don't have all the answers to this. There are some subjects I think the Bible gives us most of the answers, but so we'll see where we can go. Hopefully there'll be something for everyone, but you are the only you God has. So expect to receive healing, deliverance, insight, coherence, whatever. Okay, let's see. What's the first verse we're going to read, just so you can get there? Proverbs chapter 3. It'll be a few minutes. Thank you. So here we go. The title of this teaching, Faith Revisited. I'll be happy to send you my notes. Just email me, jal@tltf. Now, this is probably too much for a bumper sticker. It would have to go all the way across the back bumper. Never abandon what you understand from the Word in the face of what you do not understand experientially. I will say that to close. Never abandon what you understand from the Word in the face of what you do not understand experientially. We want to do our best to filter the latter through the former. So obviously the question, why didn't God answer my prayer, is one that virtually every Christian has asked at some point. We may not always be able to answer that question. In fact, there may be a lot of times we can't answer it. But God's Word gives us a framework for understanding certain vital truths that will help us maintain our faith, our trust in Him, so that He can answer future prayers. Because we can see from the Bible, and I'll say this again, that faith, trust in Him is the major variable. If you, it's not exactly an equation, but it seems to be, from what I can see, the major variable. So what do we know for sure from God's Word? What do we know from the Word? Number one, healing is always God's will. Always. Not many Christians believe that. God and Jesus, number two, still heal. Number three, God is glorified when you are healed and you can serve Him. I'm a little homebound here lately, and I don't like it. I could do more, I think, if I were out and about, but whatever. God never uses sickness to teach a lesson. Sickness is never a blessing. And finally, I'm sure there are others, but God wants you, look at your name tag, to live a long life. Now, someone recently sent me an interview by a perky woman radio host, and she was interviewing a very upbeat woman. I'd say she was in her mid to late 30s, the one being interviewed, and she is, by all reports, dying of incurable colon cancer. She teaches at Duke Divinity School, has a young son whom she can't bear to leave. Can you blame her? She's doing some kind of immunotherapy, which seems to be prolonging her life a little bit each time. So she wrote a book. The title is pretty unique. It's called Everything happens for a reason, and other lies I've loved. Wow. Because everything happens for a reason is so prevalent. Now, sure, everything happens for a reason. It's either good or bad, God or the devil, or just a configuration of life's vicissitudes. So that was an inviting title and a pretty rare one. Then she mentioned other lies people have said to her during her illness. Now, thankfully, I haven't gotten a lot of this. It wouldn't really faze me if I did, but most of the folks, the precious people who have spoken in my life the last 4 years, know that it's God's will to heal me. But anyway, God is writing a better story. Well, what does that mean? That means that her early death is a better story than being at her son's wedding. I don't know. It's heaven is your true home. Now, there's one. Gag me with that. And people apparently still say God needs another angel. The sad thing is this dear lady, bless her heart, substitutes other non-biblical ideas in place of these. So here's one thing she said. We'll just kind of wend our way through these things. She said, I used to believe God had a plan. Now, first of all, he does. 1 Timothy 2:4. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, in your life, that looks completely different. I think you're doing that. You're saved and you're coming to a knowledge of the truth. It looks completely different than my life or the person, all these faces I can see on here tonight. It's completely different. God has incredible latitude to work with us according to our cooperation. So that's the basic plan, and nothing else that contradicts that is part of the plan. So to help us achieve that, God works with us along the way to direct us as he knows best. We kind of have to be moving for him to direct us, but he can direct a moving object. But the whole idea of God's plan is it messes up more people, I think, than it helps, because it sometimes causes people to attribute to him everything that happens. I read a book by a football coach once. Everything, he got fired. Well, he ended up over here. Well, that was God. God did this. Every single thing that happened to him was God. Well, I don't think that's the way it works. It's like sometimes people think if they got off the plan, they can't get back on. It's like, I missed the train. No, God is big enough. Good heavens. How many times have I missed the train? Gee whiz. Well, there's another one coming along. It may not take me to the same destination, but if it's a God train, it'll be all right. So the lady, the hostess said, so how's your prayer life? And the dear lady said, oh, just basic stuff. Help me be a good mom. I forget all she said there, but then she said, well, we're all going to die someday. Is that true? Of course it's not true. But if you think that, and you have no idea that you could live until Christ shows up, then that's not something you would ever focus on. The lady asked her about heaven and hell. She said, well, I believe in heaven, but I have mixed feelings about going there because I'll be missing everything here. Well, that's true, even if there were a place called heaven that she was about to go. She'd be missing her son growing up. And so that's a pretty good answer. I believe in heaven, but I have mixed feelings. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's not quite as fatalistic as a lot of people. Because when I read that or heard her say that, I thought about the incalculable heartache people have suffered due to misconceptions about heaven and hell. You can run all that through your own mind right now. All of the stuff, moms in heaven, dads in hell, thinking, oh my gosh, Easter's on April Fool's Day. Hopefully that'll remind the devil what a fool he was to crucify the Lord of glory. So this lady came out of a church. She said, we're almost ready for Proverbs 3. She came out of a church teaching what she called the prosperity gospel. Now, that's kind of a vague term, and it means a lot of different things to different people, but many people associate it with the teaching. It says you can name and claim whatever you want from God. And too often, those folks mishandle verses like Mark 11, 23. Whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this Lamborghini, get in my garage, and does not doubt in his heart. Well, obviously, if it's not there tomorrow morning, you doubted. I'm not sure that's the answer in that scenario, but then Romans 4, I think it is, God calls those things, or Abraham called those things which be not as though they are. But wait a minute. He had a promise. God told him, you're going to have a son. When you have a promise from God, you can call that promise, so to speak. You can say, wait a minute, you promised me this, so I'm just going to take you at your word. I'm not being arrogant. I just believe what you said. So Proverbs 3, I'm going to read this 1 to 10 from the good old King James Version, because it speaks of how God does reward the faithful with blessings. My son, maybe you haven't read these, or I hadn't read these for quite a while. They kind of warmed my heart. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Okay? You can pick out the many applicable things for you. Verse 2. Well, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, now this is a general promise. Yeah, there have been wonderful Christians run over at age 25 by a car or something, and I can't explain everything about that by any means. But let's just try to soak our hearts in these promises and have as much faith as we can. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That's our job, okay? Keep the commandments, that's our job. See, it's his job, our job, back and forth. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. In other words, might be talking about memorizing Scripture. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Generally, absolutely true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm kicking out these lines. And lean not unto your own understanding. Okay, that's my job. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. My job. He should direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear, it's probably Yahweh. Sorry, I didn't notice it, whether it was or not. And depart from evil. It'll be health to your navel. Navel put as a figure of speech for your body. And marrow to your bones. That's what I'm looking for right now. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase, and your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Let's go to Mark 9, Matthew, Mark 9. So God does reward the faithful with blessings. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, if he can't keep his promises, most particularly everlasting life, what's the point? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So we have a role to play, but not as big a role as God does. But I think you're all familiar with we just saw it, the reciprocal relationship. So the woman expressed kind of her lack of optimism kind of like don't expect much from God. But that's sad, because then if you're not expecting much, you're probably not going to get much. Now, some people say the problem with the health and wealth gospel, or even looking at those above verses we just read, one of the main conclusions has to be, if I never get healed, I didn't have enough faith. Well, could be. And we'll see some of these things as we go on. But faith is the main variable. I think we're going to read it, but I'll just say it. Jesus told a number of people whom he healed, your faith has made you whole. Now, we know faith is not a force. If you haven't heard segment 6 of One Day with the Creator lately, what is faith? Might want to listen again. Faith is not a force. It doesn't go out and get you good stuff, or on the opposite side, fear doesn't go out and bring you bad stuff. That's bull. But faith is seemingly the main variable. Now, one thing about, again, these terms are hard to pin down, but one thing about the name it and claim it, health and wealth, whatever, they sometimes have a problem, or it's very challenging for them to, how would I say it, sit in their problem and grieve. Now, that is, I'm not talking about forever spiraling into an endless tailspin. No, but there's something to be said for, okay, here I am in this crucible. What is it that God would have me learn as he brings me through this crucible? Another thing is sometimes left out of the name it and claim it, health and wealth. You can have all this good stuff. Life's a bowl of cherries if you're a Christian. They forget that the Bible says life is hard, not easy. Life is hard. It's ridiculously hard. Now, you may feel like your life's been easy. If so, praise God. Compared to a lot of other people I look at, I certainly do think mine has been relatively easy. So one thing we've got to do is face reality based upon the Word. And you all know 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one. So God's not in control. We are swimming upstream, chopping our way through the underbrush, whatever works for you. But part of reality is what God has promised. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. They are no respecter of persons. So let's just look at some time-honored scriptures. Mark 9, 17 to 24. Jesus is on the dusty trail. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit. That's a bad translation of daimonizomai, means demonized. 1 hour Martinizing they used to have. So you're not possessed. Why? Because you're bought with a price. You belong to Jesus. You're not possessed. It's a bad translation. This must be the, I don't know what translation this is. But anyway, that's not right. Robbed him of his speech. Sometimes when people can't speak, it's a spirit. Other times it's a throat problem. Whenever it sees him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, become rigid. How terrifying would that be to that father? I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they couldn't. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around. Picture this, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help him. Look at Jesus's reply. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. And I inserted, everything God promises is possible for one that believes. If you can, in other words, if I can do anything, how about you? What's your part? Everything is possible for one who pistuos, trusts. 24, immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And we know then that the boy was totally delivered. But that's a great phrase from the father, and one that's not copyrighted. I've used it many times. I do believe, because I do. I know it's God's will to heal. I know he can. His ability and his willingness. Simple. Okay? So help me overcome whatever barrier is blocking my receiving his provision, because it's not God's posture that is in question. His posture was clearly manifest in Jesus, who reached out his hand, as we will read, and touched the leper. I will heal you. So in the course of some of this, the lady said, well, I do believe God can heal me. Well, that's a good start. And most people, I think, believe that, that if God wanted to, go to Matthew 8. I guess I just quoted this verse, but we'll read it if you'd like to. I'll read it to you. You can look at it. I think most people believe that God could heal him if he wanted to. Like this guy here, Matthew 8, 1 to 3, Jesus came down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy, I changed that to cancer in a wrote a bunch of verses called God's Promises to Me. They're right on my computer. I read them periodically, and I changed it to cancer. Came and knelt before him and said, Lord, look at this. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus turned and went away. No, no. Jesus reached out his hand and touched. How did he touch him? Just like with his one finger. No, no. It's a verb that means kind of attach yourself to. He might have taken the man's face in his hands, put his hands on his shoulders. I don't know. But he reached out his hand and touched the man, saying, I am willing, be clean. Immediately. I don't know why it hasn't happened immediately for me or for you, but there it is. So the posture of God in Christ is clear. You can go to Hebrews 11. So the dear woman, bless her heart, said, I don't think my life is supposed to be better according to my relationship with God. In other words, the quality of my life is not determined by the quality of my relationship with God. Well, then what's the point? And you may think of the verses that I did, John 8, 31 and 32. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, the converse is, if you believe error, you're in bondage. Truth has practical benefit. That's why we, in this ministry, I don't know, most of you probably been around for a while, we are fanatics about every jot and tittle of the written word. Because what else do we have without that? Without that, we are adrift in a sea of speculation. So the woman said along the same line, I see no advantage to being spiritual except you get to know a little about the presence of God. Oh, bless her heart. So in other words, God has shown up in a way that she could realize. She talked about the whole, you know, like a contractor deal that people make with God. if you heal me, I'll be a missionary in Borneo, so forth. Now, but I would like to frame that again in the context of a promise from the one who cannot lie. It's not so bad, I guess, if you meant it, you know, you mean it, and God heals you and you go to Borneo. I mean, whatever. She says, I'm not the architect of my own life. Okay, that's basically, it's again reciprocal, more I think than she sees. But God never says, I'm saying this now, God never says I'm supposed to be the whole architect. I'm supposed to look to him to sculpt my heart. And she says, I thought I needed to be shiny, to be worthy of God's love. I learned to be accepted when I didn't have much to offer other people. Then she said, I no longer believe that God makes a way, but I still believe in God. Well, we're going to see in 1 second, believing God's not enough. But of course he makes a way. How do we know? Jesus said, I am the way. And of course, it's Jesus who most vividly showed us God's heart. So here's Hebrews 11, looks like 1-6, famous verses. I think I'm in the NIV here. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. If you've never looked up confidence, of course, faith is pistis, trust, confidence, assurance. Those are good verses to look up. Faith is confidence in what we hope for based on God's promises. Faith requires an object. The object is God, Jesus, the Word, the promises. This is what the ancients were commended for. And of course, then the whole chapter talks about them old guys. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. I'm afraid universe is ages. Sorry, that wasn't what I was focused on in looking at this. But in any case, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, molecules, all kinds of cool stuff God made. That's what makes up what we can see. Verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better sacrifice, better offering, sorry, than Cain did. By faith, he, Abel, was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks. How? We have the written testimony of his behavior, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Well, who was looking for him? People that knew God moved him from one place to another on the earth. Why would they go look for him if he went to heaven? Is there death after life? Difficult scriptures explained. Of course, I'll mention that book in next month's FOD, explains that section. 4, continuing verse 5, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What if God took to heaven everybody that pleased him? Place would be even more of a zoo than it is. And verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, period. No, obviously that's the first thing you got to believe. Hey, let's go eat at that fabulous restaurant that doesn't exist. That's insane. Anyone who comes to God must first believe that he exists. Duh. But there's another part to it. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That he is a rewarder. And I may say this again, but I think the root of all human sin is a faulty picture of God, which Satan has worked overtime to build in people's minds. He's a mean old man. He'll get you for this. You know, all of the standard fallacies that make God look bad. So it isn't enough just to believe that he exists. We got to believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, or we won't earnestly seek him. So I often think that God must be, just with regard to me, God must be frustrated. He wants to heal me more than I want to get healed. And he's reaching out, but it hasn't been manifest yet. There have been many miracles along the way. I know I'm coming out on the other side of this, but daggone, like to speed up the process a little, okay? Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood, is one of the places where Jesus made the statement, your faith has made you whole, to the little woman that came and touched the hem of his garment. Now, of course, what he means is, your faith accessed my healing dunamis power, because faith is not a force. Go to Acts chapter 10. We're in the home stretch here. Most of you know, and some of you may have a tattoo of Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do, I think this is NIV, immeasurably more than all we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. Think about that a minute. We are, you know, I'm sure, like I, you've rattled that off without dissecting its magnitude. Now to him who's able, and we know he's willing, to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think. That's a lot, golly, according to his power that is at work within us. What power is that? Power that created, oh, he made the stars also. I love that little verse, Genesis 1:14. Oh, yeah, he threw up 500 billion galaxies. If you haven't read Acts 16, 5:16, I'll read it to you. You're in Acts 10. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem. These early apostles were smoking, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Oh my gosh, wouldn't you? Oh man, just to have been a part of that, to have seen that. Just try to put yourself in that early church in the book of Acts with those people. All right, Acts 10, 37-38. Here's a really couple of really great verses. All of them were healed. Oh my God. Crowds gathered. That's so cool. So Acts 10, 37, 38 says, you know what has happened. This is, I think this is Peter talking to Cornelius. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that Johnny B. Good preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, and how he, Jesus, these verses are so magnificent to help people see, yeah, everything happens for a reason, good or bad, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, who was under the power of God, because Satan needs God's permission to afflict people. No, he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Well, now God's with you, and that's why you got two hands. Jesus is with you. Such a deal. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1. I will quote you a short and sweet verse that I'm sure you know. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So these are things that we just cannot imbibe, assimilate, pound into our hearts and minds too much. We can't. We can't. It's huge. So the little lady also said, we can learn to know Christ in his sufferings and feel God's love. Well, that's true. Jesus suffered pain, not because he was sick, but when they tortured him. And so he knows what excruciating pain is. And of course, on the cross, she said, we can seek God in the darkness. She said, let my pain connect me to others in pain. Now that is huge. That's huge. I don't think I'm the most empathetic person on the earth by any means. But the more I go through things, the more my heart softens toward people who are also going through things. I can feel for them better. So she talked about noticing the tired mom in the grocery. And of course, I thought about the other people in the clinic or blood centers that I have been to, bless their hearts. And then she made another comment, which was kind of strange, but she said, Jesus' life didn't turn out super well. Well, of course, she doesn't understand that it turned out exactly how God wanted it, she said. So I'm not a total loser. And then she made a really good comment that we will, this will be our last scripture to read, but I'm connecting that to her statement. Don't pour your certainty on others' pain. Oh, it's not that big a deal. Don't worry about it. Da, 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 da. No, no. We can encourage people without minimizing what they're going through. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 7 addresses that. I believe it says, I'm in the NIV, I think here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. That's the word paraklesis, like the comforter means. Verse 4, same verb. Who comforts parakaleo means to call to one side, to speak words of encouragement, edification, comfort, healing. Comforts us in all our troubles so that we can, same word, do that. Think about that word, parakaleo. Those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So I got to be open and receive this comfort from God. Verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, I suppose that's any sufferings that we go through. Probably, I don't know if it includes the ones I brought on myself by being an idiot, but verse 6, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. In other words, not just automatically, only if I respond to the distress in a godly way that enables me to increase in comfort that I can share with others. We are comforted. It is for your comfort. Same word all the way through, parakaleo, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. And I'll close with a little, I've gotten a lot of cards from people. And one of them, I got this one recently. I thought it was really cool. So I'll share it with you. When I am the neediest, you, God and Jesus, are the most sufficient. When I'm completely helpless, you're the most helpful. When I feel totally dependent, you're absolutely dependable. When I am the weakest, you are the most able. When I am the most alone, you are intimately present. When I feel I am the least, you are the greatest. When I feel the most useless, you are preparing me. When it is the darkest, you are the only light I need. And when I feel the least secure, you are my rock and my fortress. I said I would say the opening statement again, but what I just shared with you Those are some of the things that we never abandon from the word in the face of what we do not understand experientially. Amen and amen. So hopefully there was something there. If you'd like these notes, just email me and I'll be happy to send them to you if you think that would help you. I'm posting on caringbridge.org some updates, but I got umbilical stem cells a week ago Monday. You can pray that those little guys grow wild. I'm doing some other things that are designed to move me forward, based upon consulting with my new doctor and the oncologist that he works with. But again, at the bottom line, I may not know how, I may not know when, but God and Jesus will do it again. And they'll certainly do it again for you too. So, Elizabeth sends her love to you. We can't begin to thank you enough for praying for us and so many people around the world. I'm very humbled by notes that I receive, and I know me, hopefully, better than you do, and I am far from perfect, but I have hung on to the truth, and I guess that's why I've been able to make an impact on a few folks. So anyway, onward and upward. Spring is coming in 14 days, I guess, 2 weeks from now, the 21st, and sunshine, flowers, all kinds of good stuff like that. But our light, true light, is the Lord Jesus. And I love you. I will be back out and about and see you. And there are some things that in this time, kind of a downtime, that I really need to work on or grasp or assimilate into my own life for the sake of the quality of my ministry. I'll leave it at that for now. But thank you for being you. And if you support us financially with even a little bit, thank you. So I will pray, and Franco will play a wonderful song to bless us. Anything we can do for you, please let us know. You got one day with the Creator, the end times, Jesus Christ, diameter of the ages, hundreds of teachings on the website. Somehow we got to get those out. And so keep your ears and eyes open for folks that would really like that. So see you in 4 weeks. If not before, it could be in the next split second, because Jesus is coming back for us. And Lord, we praise you that you went the distance through the cross, that you have accomplished everything that you say you have. We are born again of incorruptible seed. And no matter who says what to contradict that, they're out of their mind, because you are a sufficient Savior, and you have yanked us across the unbridgeable chasm like the Red Sea was for those old Israelites, forever separating them from the bondage of the Egyptians. And your incorruptible seed is exactly that, incorruptible. If we put on billboards by Hibbing, Missouri, or whatever that stupid thing is, and say, "I hate Jesus," you just say, "Huh, you're cute," and you hold us, because you cannot deny yourself. So bless each of these precious saints, their loved ones, their jobs, their pets, their health. I pray for Janet Page tonight, Father. We come together. She's had this bad stomach pain for a week or something. And others, we lift up. You know who's on the call that needs, first of all, relief from pain, second of all, deliverance. And so So we come together in faith. Two or three, we got way more than that. We probably have 150. So that should count for something. So we speak complete healing. Absolutely reach down, take away the cause for any of our needs. And thank you for being who you are. Raise us up to know you better day by day. Help us to be like you, especially to the dear people close to us. And I pray for my precious wife tonight. Lord, hold her heart in your hands and just be for her who you are and who you've been for her many times. Thank you for her faithful care and love for me. Amen. Love you guys.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant through the trial and the change, this one thing remains. And he loves us.